Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The Colts have guarded optimism that Andrew Luck will be ready for the season. You know, and I haven't been as worried about this injury because it's not related to the other stuff, but it just keeps getting weirder and weirder. And it almost feels like the next thing in terms of, and I don't want to put that evil on him because I want the guy to play this
right.
year. But they never could quite diagnose that properly either. And then it turned into a big deal.
Yep. What's your level of concern now for the Astros? Like, what's your confidence level in them? Where were you at the All-Star break, and where are you at now?
I'm in the same place.
Okay.
There are ebbs and flows to any season. There's going to be some down times. There's going to be some stretches where you don't play well. And you know, at this stage of the season, really all they're playing for is positioning. I'm not concerned at all. Even if they were to get swept in this series and it'd be down to 5.5, I still wouldn't be concerned.
How much faith do you have in their bullpen?
Not a lot, but I mean, how many bullpens do you say, oh, those guys are money every time out? Everybody goes through this, and I don't think it's a weakness. It is right now, but I don't think overall it's a weakness. They're just having a bad stretch.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Our number 3, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. Send a message. Maybe Aaron will like it. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. Can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, hopefully all available on podcastarena.com. And you can go and check that out. There's been fairly... Okay, that one was better. The first one was just so embarrassingly bad that I was ashamed for you.
Yeah.
But that's much better. That's a Coleman milk burp there. Basically, pretty sportsy, little non-sports. And then we just got into how not to be clingy in a relationship. Because that was
how not to be, like, absurdly clingy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a dickweed move.
Yeah.
There's no question. So, all right. Looks like we're going to have all three guys today in... very short order, although Aaron had said 7:30, and we're like, I don't think we're going to be able to have them on today.
I'll be gone for the day.
Yeah, it's like, hey, maybe you can do that for your after podcast,
Aaron? I won't be here.
So,
did you see any of Kyler Murray last night?
I didn't watch any of it, but I saw some lowlights today.
Mm.
You don't want to see a guy struggle in preseason, man.
Mm.
That's where you're supposed to go out there and go 6-for-7 and... you know, look like you know what you're doing. But preseason, good.
I'm not good. I'm on team Cardinals are not as good as people think they are.
Who thinks they're good?
I mean, Vegas was giving them, 5.5?
Oh, I'm way under on that. I think they could easily be the worst team in football.
I think they'll
this
be
year.
Picking number. They might be picking. Well, they won't be picking number one because the Dolphins will probably pick number one.
Yeah, but I think they're going to suck.
I think they'll be really bad.
All right. Well, let's find out from the people who would know. RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, got all three of you today, huh?
Oh, always. And I'm going to let these boys do more talking, but I got to take the lead here on one thing. Because you guys, Fred, how long have you been in radio?
About 12 years now. Well, let's see. 12 years.
And AJ, I know you were a comedian.
Not a real comedian.
You don't have to tell that story again.
No, I'm about 15 years. A little over 15 years.
You've been... You look like you're Fred's son, but you've been in radio longer than Fred.
I don't look like Fred's son.
No.
I mean, come on.
Well, I did have another career for about 20 years before I got into this.
Yeah, Fred started late.
Yeah, I got a late start.
The Houston Chronicle, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Listen, that actually, all joking aside, I love radio guys with a journalism background because – obviously, if you're good enough to be on radio, and Fred's been a great success, that means you've got that skill. But having that foundation in print, I think it helps you from the hottest of the hot takes. It helps you just know how to think a story through. So I love it. We have a guy in town here. What's his name? In the morning.
Ed Graney.
Nice guy. He's won a couple of Nevada Sports Writer of the Year awards. I think he's like 6 or something. But he does radio now. He's pretty good at radio, but I think that journalism background really hurts. But here's my question. How many good radio producers, and let's set aside who you've got, or any former producer. And how many are good producers do you think are in the country? Because I'm putting the over under at 7.5.
It's like Gary Delabate, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, Howard doesn't think Gary, well, I guess he thinks he's good enough to keep him all these years.
Yeah, he's
right?
kept him for a long time.
Well, you know what the real issue is? Most guys who are producing want to be on air at some point.
That's
exactly.
the problem.
And so they don't. You know,
exactly.
Fortunately, Aaron.
And I'll tell you. Okay.
I was about to say, fortunately, Aaron likes what he does. So he focuses on that instead of, you know, oh, I want to be the third host.
Is that a dig at any prior employees?
No. I mean, we've been very lucky.
Jong was the same way. Jong had no aspirations to be on air.
Yeah, that's.
Now, what I would say, and since they're both ESPN guys, it's easy enough to say it, is Vince Cates, who used to be Colin's producer, who now handles, my understanding, is all the weekend radio. I mean, this guy, I'd sit down with him a half hour anytime we were around each other. I would be very solicitous. It was like a PhD level course on radio. And I also think, in probably not as well known, I'll just say it quick, is Raj Gobes, who's ESPN yeah. LA, brilliant radio guy. And Collins producers now, obviously at Fox, but excellent. He's got two of them. Not many of them. Let's just say that. Not many of them. And, you know, obviously I'm a Fox guy on the national stage. Is I spent 90 minutes cutting up two clips today. It was like really like this is like I'm doing a skit with these clips. And literally they were 0-for-2 getting on air today. Like you can't. I mean, everyone listening, think about your job. All right. And think about this. The host of the show is going to send you two emails. One is going to say number one of two. Like you've got to do that. And the second says 2 of 2. Please confirm receipt. That's verbatim. And you would take that file and drag it into another folder that allows it to be accessed from the board, the playback machine, whatever. I would say in any given day, that getting done is 50-50 at best.
Now, didn't you have an extensive search for a producer?
Yes, he's already been fired.
That guy's fired already?
Fired already.
Oh,
nothing
boy.
Against him. Let's not even get into that. It's just I'm saying if you're young and you like radio or podcast, because really it's merging. The distinction between the two, I mean, business-wise, there's a big distinction. But would you guys agree production-wise, being a producer, it's really one of the same at this point, right?
Yeah, what I will say is for a producer, and if you've got a bad producer and you're doing a major market show, and for you guys doing a national show, I mean, that's you want everything to sound right. You want everything to be set up right. It should be a pretty well-oiled machine. It's very important.
You would think so, but really, and this is something people don't realize in radio, is, and you guys do, there's three, major national networks, and then you've got, and let's give credit where credit's due, you've got like SB Nation, which does a really good job, I think, with, I don't want to call it niche programming, but I think it's like when Fred, you and I had our show, I thought that was as good. And again, you as much as me, as radio got when it came to the gambling perspective. And it was hardcore enough that, you know, like an ESPN probably doesn't put that on the national feed. But what they end up doing, SB Nation thinking, well, wait a minute. People's got 30 choices at any given moment what they can listen to. If we can get the gamblers this hour, we've done something. That's why I think more verticals like the SB Nations of the world, like Sirius, like whatever, are good things because it lets more niche, you know, really specialized programming excel. So, but let's be honest, is the bigger networks you would think would have the better producers.
You would think.
And here's the two dirty secrets. One, and this is giving some credit to the boys here, Fred and AJ, their standing, the revenue they generate is probably as high as, and I'm not even sure where the line is, but after you get past the Dan Patricks, the Collins, the Levitards, the Mike and Mikes, or the new show, meaning the biggest names in the business, Stephen A. Smith. After that, and you get to the other shows on that network, meaning, yeah, we're on 200 stations. We're not Colin Cowherd. We're not Dan Patrick, right? And the other ESPN guys, right? Literally, when it comes to just dollars and cents, the amount of money, a really highly rated, good chance to jump in, Fred, with what are you guys, like 10 out of 11 books or something you're winning?
Oh, we haven't lost our time slot since 2017, yeah.
There you go. So these guys, Houston's what, the fourth biggest market?
Sixth.
All right. So think about this. The sixth biggest market, drive time, Howard Stern time, or I guess, you know, there's morning drive and afternoon drive. Afternoon drive, at minimum, one of the top two time periods. In the sixth biggest market, there's a dominant force, and it's this freaking show. Now, we can joke, one station, 200. Yeah, we've got a lot of little, you know, 50-watt stations. Now, listen, you add up a lot of, you know, 1,000 people at a time listening. There's a lot of people listening. There's hundreds of thousands listening to us. And it's probably more, quite frankly, than this show. But it doesn't mean we're making more money. Because local, it's if there's a car dealer, he can't advertise unless it's a national chain locally. Nationally. But locally, he might anchor, a whole show. And that's why Fred's driving around in a Mercedes or whatever. So not only do these guys, quite frankly, I'm going to let the cat get out of the bag here, make a lot more money than you might think when you put all the bennies in. Now, are you guys forthcoming about that, or you try to hide that?
I mean, we don't talk about like exactly how much money we make.
Well,
but I think
we can. It's actually in my contract that I can't talk about.
We do all right, yeah. Better than the average radio guy.
You're ballers. And I mean, you know.
Well, we also do full-time jobs here besides the show. So that contributes as well.
Come on, Fred. You're sitting back with your feet up, pointing at people. Come on.
No. I basically have two people to work with me on that website. So
I'm joking.
It is a real job. But
You do see I'm trying to make it where I'm not giving you too much love so people take it seriously, right? That's the point right now. Is I'm usually hard on you because I like you so much. Now I'm being sincere, but I don't want to be totally sincere or they might think I'm being insincere.
Well, is what you're getting at that you guys are not getting a top quality producer offer from Fox?
No.
They're not giving you someone who's worthy of the job that it actually is.
Well, what you just said is like four different questions. So here, because it's slight variations on a theme, here's what I'll say. I believe that the guys at our network they emphasize quality on air as much as anyone I've ever met. Meaning, another dirty secret in radio. And again, since you guys, you know, literally are amongst the bosses at the station, when you have a station that the hosts are also involved as businessmen, as Fred legitimately said, that's the best because you know they care about content. That's why they started as a host. You also know they're smart because they're able to do the business. So that's rare, though. Usually there's a real antagonism between the business side and radio and the on-air side. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, and sales don't care. And you mentioned Bubba Bowie. Howard Stern is a genius. There's nothing if I could have 10 minutes as good as Howard Stern in my career, I'll be happy. And I know I'm an information guy and I do that really well, but as a broadcaster, he's a genius.
Right.
How many times was he fired?
Plenty.
So genius, if genius doesn't protect you, it means it's a tough business for on-air talent. And just to finish the point, I think, you know, our network really cares, but I also think it's economics. If your show's making X, they can only spend so much on it. And as much as it's great to have a national reach, the biggest local shows sometimes will have a bigger budget. And I'm not even asking to talk about your budget, but Chicago, you know, you go around Atlanta, those biggest shows where I do hits, Boston, You know, I do three hits a week on, or let me think. Yeah, three hits a week on ESPN New York, right? That's as big as it gets, with Michael Kay as one of them. And I can tell you, their budget is gigantic. When I was at ESPN LA, when Dave Singer was there, I would visit once a year. He's with the NFL Network now. They had six people producing the show, Mason in Ireland.
Right.
All right. So, I mean, that's local radio. But in the biggest markets, man, it is a huge business. And the ultimate point is you guys are bigger deals than people probably think.
Well, now with your show, I mean, obviously it's nationally syndicated. From everything I've heard, and I mean, I hear the show, but from everything I've heard as far as like in radio, it's a well-respected show. People like that show. But for you, it's also more of a promotional tool. It's as much a promotional tool as anything, right? Because it gets, I mean, people learn that you've got pregame.com, and if somebody's listening to your show, the presumption is that they're going to end up at pregame.com and helping your other business.
His Twitter handle is at RJ in Vegas.
I think you may have a point, but what I will say is this, that did change with this show. Meaning, and again, I would make the case that we probably promote on this segment less per minute than any segment I've ever done in my life. It's because you guys are such advocates of pregame. I know that net, we're going to get enough attention, so we don't over, you know, I'm not one to jump in with it. You guys aren't great on the formatics. That's part of your charm. No problem, right? But usually a hit for me is all about that, right? When I do Boston, when I do Atlanta, and they are more conventional hosts, and it's, you know, Twitter handle, website, resetting every 90 seconds. Now,
RJ, you don't let us talk every 90 seconds.
Well, see, that's why it's even better for
RJ
you.
RJ Bell from pregame.com, you don't let us talk every 90 seconds.
You know what's funny, though? You guys love that, because how long is your show every day? Is it 3 or 4 hours?
3 hours.
3 hours at the end of that thing, if you've got 20 minutes you can shut up, it's like it's a godsend, right?
We love it. We love having you. The people are, when they tune into this segment, they want to hear what you've got to say. They hear from exactly. us all week long,
except if you and I are going at it on a game. So I guess the point I'm making is, let's just be honest for a second. Here's the lineup leading into me. It's Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, Doug Gottlieb, RJ Bell. Literally. So if I take that as a promotional tool, I'm not going to be there long. So, and if you did the hourly on what I get paid, it's embarrassing. So now obviously I'm doing more than an hour, you know, by prepping, as you guys know. But let's be honest, I got to do that work anyway.
Of course.
So it's a great deal for me. But I would say in a given week, we probably mentioned the website 8 times, like it's 1.5 times a day, you know.
I take the under.
Yeah, probably. And it's just, I've been extra careful not to do that early. A little hint, we'll probably see a little more of that as time goes on.
Well, fair enough. And obviously football season's about to get into the swing of things for you guys. And I'm having my first season on pregame.com doing college football and NFL. I'm pretty excited about that. A lot of people have been asking about that. But obviously, you've got the heroes there, Fezzik and Brad Powers. I guess, are you guys planning on another championship run this season where you guys are in the mix for the Super Contest once again?
Well, I tell you, this will be like a world announcement, but let's call it unofficial, because we still got to talk to our attorney about exactly the way we can offer this. But here's the plan. We're going to offer any other show that has comparable reach to ours. And obviously some of that's subjective, but any TV show, even if, you know, let's be candid, the TV shows like, you know, ESPN.
Cousin
does,
Sal's TV does, show or what. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever the name of it is like, if you actually look at the ratings, they get like 50,000 people watch a day. I think that's high actually in the off season. I wanted to do this once. In fact, I'm going to do it. I'm going to come up with the most convoluted thing and do it like a 10-minute podcast on it, and I will get 120,000 listens. because our NFL pod gets almost 400,000. So if I said I was going to talk about how often I cut my toenails, I swear to God that at least a fourth of the listeners would say, I got to hear this.
I mean, Brad and I went on and mumbled about college basketball, and people listened. 100,000 people will listen to that. I mean, anybody.
Exactly. And that was a good podcast, and it will be again, because that's the plan. You guys are two of the experts in the world at that stuff, and I say that sincerely. So, but since it's TV, let's give them credit. So any of those shows can do this offer, or if there's another outlet that has comparable reach. I mean, I don't think there's another radio show, but we'll figure it out. Okay. We'll bet you heads up, show versus show, $100,000, our entry in the gold versus yours. That's simple. No shenanigans. Let me give you a preview. No one's taking us up on it.
Yeah. All right? Yeah. Not. Brett Musburger hasn't taken you up?
Well, you know, the first question is that reach enough? Because it isn't. But if it was Musburger, I would do it as a personal favor to him.
Okay, that's very good. You're a kind man.
All right, now here's the thing that's going to blow your mind. And again, we're talking broad strokes here. We don't want to do anything wrong legally, because they could. You know, the fear is it's a solicitation, which it's not. Is anyone else in the world? Billy Walters, he's in jail, but he's anybody. Phil Ivey.
Is he in jail?
Bring it on. Here's the thing. No. Here's the thing. I don't know how good they are, but I know no one is better than us. I think there's a chance that someone's as good as us. But why would I bet someone as good as us $100K? Because we'd have to put that money in escrow, first of all. Because no one's going to just trust you on that. They're going to have to put the post up. We post up. That's fine. I need an edge in my mind based on my assessment. My assessment is we're as good as anybody. I don't care who. So we'll do it at plus 110. If you have a show, I know you. I'll take even money. But if you're hidden, if you're a secret guy, we'll do it at plus 110, where they bet $110,000, we bet $100, put it in escrow, and go. I think we may get that one taken up, and it will be fun.
That would be fun. Now, you guys had such a phenomenal year last year in NFL, almost a year that, I mean, if you matched it, it would be beyond impressive, because, I mean, it was so good last year. Is there any fear that you've set the bar too high on what's reasonable to expect during an NFL season?
I think that's a great, honestly, AJ, that's a great question. And I would say this, if by our results, then most certainly it's too high. If you listen, though, you cannot think that. Because I don't think we've mentioned our performance. And just to kind of reiterate is we were pretty much tied for the lead in the gold at about 67%. With 2 weeks to go. And because we were playing a meta game, we actually maxed our chances of winning it, but we had horrible results the last 2 weeks. And it was literally, especially the last week, we have to play the worst picks, because even if they're 42%, being against the one or two people ahead of us was worth it. And it's kind of, if anything, Fez has nothing to talk about here, but he is probably the expert in the world at this. At least one of your super contests was about how well you played the metagame, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it came down to me figuring out what the person ahead of me was going to play and figuring out, hey, what optimizes my chance of winning, oftentimes going against what he was going to play.
And, I mean, you saw the work that you helped us with. I'd say we put in, what, triple the work you did trying to project what the others were playing?
10 times.
We profiled every pick from everybody. We looked at, did they play favorites, dogs, certain teams. We looked at everything. And I think we set ourselves up to win. And the fact that we finished so horribly, I was proud of it. First of all, I would have rather won. But if we were going to lose, the fact that we stuck to our guns and did picks people said were stupid, I actually felt proud of that.
Yeah, because it's winner take all, obviously. So the worst thing you do is you submit your plays, and then you look at what your opponents are submitting. You're like, I'm drawn dead. There's no scenario I can win.
Right,
and as much as you could get.
If it's not a winner take all scenario, your last 2 weeks, you're obviously making different moves.
That's where AJ, I mean, honestly, you can tell when it's not something someone's gone through, because obviously AJ's never been in the lead, you know,
never.
Super contest, is when they can see the truth of the conundrum right away, as a sign of raw intelligence. I'm being 100% sincere. That's the thing. You would, they still weighed it, though. First of all, there's the brand value, and that's of winning. Like, Fezzik has made more money from his two super contests after than before, when or from winning them, wouldn't you say, Fez?
Yes.
And so if you're a public guy, you got to consider that. And they do weight it where they want the champ to win even, you know, just like poker tournaments, yeah. Fred, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually skewed in a way that's unfair. Not unfair as much as it's not what it probably should be. The winner gets too much, right?
Yeah, yeah. Relative to second place, because they want to show the guy holding the big check or with the giant pile of money.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. But what we've done is we've said, and this is the story. So Fezzik won the two. Then he had 3 years that were not bad but not great. We looked at it after 5 years because we were finally working together at that point. He figures two super contests, I can do it on my own. Finally, he's like, RJ, I need you. So. And now he's Fez. So what we'll say is this. He's almost looking to fight back. You know what's funny? He hardly ever does about brand. What were you going to fight back on there,
Fez? I wasn't going to fight back at all.
So the fact is, though, all joking aside, Fez has, not only is he in typical handicapping as good as anyone in the NFL, but that next level stuff that I find fascinating, if judiciously done, is where Fez is in another planet. If you listen to he and I think half the people could easily think I was better than him in the NFL, or at least as good. He is five times better than me in the NFL. If it can, now, if we were in the super contest, I think I would be a small underdog, but small. But I'm saying, if it's how much money can you make in the NFL in a given year, I wouldn't have a chance, because he's doing half times. He's doing stuff that I just don't understand. If he taught it to me, I think I'd be a fast learner. But no one taught it to him. He innovated some of this stuff. Is that fair to say, Fez?
Yes.
And to me, to have a show where even if it's 2 minutes a day, he's talking at that level, no other show can have that, because there's only one Fezzik. But the reality was, after those 5 years, he was 56.8%, was it?
Yeah, just below 57.
So two super contests and three good, decent years, and we put a challenge out locally. My national hits at the time, 100,000, same thing. But it's not against us. It's against Fezzik's average the last 5 years. So it was really effectively, can you do better than 56.8? Do you think you're 51% to do better than that? Zero people took it up. I mean, literally at the time, I was playing poker at the Suncoast 2-5-10 straddle. So it was a big game. You know, people were buying in for 4 or 5 dimes. Alan Boston was there for weeks and weeks. It was everyone at the table knew. Everyone listened to us on the radio knew. No one took us up on it. So the people smart enough to maybe come close to 57% being favored are smart enough to know they're not favored. So if you ask me, Fez, super contest this year, our team, what's the highest number you would take over at even money? Would you take over 54.5%?
That's the number popped into my head.
Is it?
Yeah.
I might go over 55.5, because I know, ooh, I'm going to put a lot of time in.
Yeah.
And there's stale numbers in that contest, but we also got to pick 5 games. So, guys, that's interesting. If I would have offered you, like, forget the 100K, would that name your price? Would you go over 56.8% in the super contest this year? Would you think you're favored?
No.
No.
See, you're smart enough to know you're not. So when you go 67 1 year, yes, we're going to have to spend, and we have been, a lot of time tamping down expectations.
All right. Well, 56 will still make people very happy, is my guess.
Indeed. Indeed.
Some people.
It'll make me happy.
All right, guys.
Well, it's good we let Brad talk more.
I heard Brad laugh, Brad, a couple times.
What's your Twitter, Brad?
At Brad Power 7.
What's the 7?
We don't know.
We? So you have multiple personalities?
I haven't announced it yet.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it.
Sure thing. And by the way, Aaron suggested yes. Daniel Negreanu might take your bet because he bets on everything.
I promise you, let's just say this. I don't think he'll take this one.
By the way, that's
but how's this?
That's Brad Powers, Fezzik, and RJ Bell from pregame.com at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com, pregame.com.
Thanks, Hess.
Pregame.com. It's my guy.
And is that how's that spelled?
pregame.com.
That's professional radio right
That's
there.
A sign of raw intelligence, as RJ likes to say. We'll see you guys next week, guys. We got into some good time. All right. Got to tell you guys about Carbach. Yeah, what's going on at Carbach? First of all, the restaurant, out of this world. Their menu is super diverse, super delicious. And we're not talking about bar food. We're not talking about some raggedy old mozzarella sticks. They got steak, pizza. They've got Hatch chili mac and cheese. They've got crab cakes. They've got poutine, one of my favorites. Korean fried chicken. I love it. And everything on their menu pairs perfectly with one of the many, many beers they've got on the wall. And some of those beers can only be found at Carbach. It's the only place to get them. So make sure you get out there, check it out. They're open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. And, you know, when you're out and about this weekend, ask your bartender to make it a Carbach. Make sure you find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to keep up with everything going on at the brewery, the restaurant, the concert series that they've got going on. And like I said, when you're at the store, when you're at the bar, pick up some Carbach this weekend.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So is this a short segment or did we combine it? What are we doing?
No, we'll go short here.
Okay.
I figured as much.
Yeah. Were you a Lucky Charms fan growing up?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't my number one, but it was good.
I loved it, but I just love the marshmallows, right? I didn't like the other part of
yeah.
it. Well, guess what they're doing?
Only marshmallows?
They have teamed up with something called Jet Puffed Marshmallows to offer $1.50 bags of just the marshmallows, and they're bigger and puffier versions of the ones found in the cereal.
Okay.
I could do that, but I would inhale the bag. That's my problem. There's certain things I know I have to stay away from.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms is one of them. Because if I were to buy a bag of Lucky Charms...
Is that your number one kid cereal?
Well, I don't know, probably. I mean, Raisin Bran I liked a lot.
But that's not a kid cereal. That's a grown-up cereal.
Yeah, but it's kid cereal. But, I mean, I haven't eaten it in probably 25, 30 years with good reason because I'd go into a diabetic coma.
Yeah, I preferred Fruity Pebbles to Lucky Charms.
Apple Jacks was the other one.
Oh, that's
I liked.
A good one.
Yeah, I was a big Apple Jacks guy.
And then I liked Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Golden Grahams.
Yeah, Cinnamon Toast Crunch kind of became my dinner one.
Okay.
I mean, adult one. Sorry. And I eat those as snacks sometimes.
Okay.
I like those.
Adult cereal, I like Grape Nuts. And, I mean, I always put honey on them. So it's I don't know how adult that is. And is Frosted Flakes kid cereal or adult cereal?
See, I think
it's got a cartoon on the box.
I think of it as a kid cereal, but I think it's a tweener.
But like Corn Flakes has a cartoon on the box, and that's not a kid cereal.
Yeah, but the Frosted Flakes have a lot of sugar on them, though.
Yeah, which that's is kind true. Of,
I mean, if you're gunning for kids,
they're delicious.
You're putting. Oh, I like them. Don't get me wrong.
They're great.
Now I want some Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Damn. All right, so we have one segment left in the week. Can't wait.
You're glad to be out of here.
Yeah, I'm ready for the weekend. I'm going to take it easy this weekend, I think. So what happens when you get old? I don't do much on the weekends anymore, especially if you throw a party in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
All right. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go in the week. We've made it, Hoffman.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do some stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
I'm going to have an unpopular opinion here. You don't like boobs.
No, I love boobs. Oh. Where'd you get that from?
I was just thinking of an unpopular opinion.
My name is Alex.
All right. I want you to know, Alex, I'm going to forget your name.
It's okay.
Listen. Alan, what?
Alex,
he's going to be the Ryan Mallett of this place. He's going to be the last one to get here, the first one to leave. And Ryan Mallett doesn't work out. We'll see how Alvin does.
Yeah, usually, I have a pretty good feel about how it's going to work out. I don't think Atlas is going to work out.
Okay. I have a story about poop for you.
You are the most poop-obsessed person I've ever met. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because, I mean, sometimes the stories are pretty funny.
This is like a serious poop story.
Oh, they're serious poop stories?
Yeah, this isn't like a
ha-ha
poop.
There are really serious
poop
stories?
This isn't a ha-ha poop story.
I had no idea. Once every 2 days? How do you enforce that? I mean, do you have somebody...
You've got to...
Uh-oh, you flushed.
You've got to turn in a log.
Hmm.
Oh, log.
I got it. This isn't a slideshow, is it? Because Yard Barker does a lot of slideshows.
They do a lot of slideshows. And actually, I'm struggling to get it pulled up right now.
I have that problem every morning. Oh, you got it up?
Yeah, I got it pulled up.
You got the story up. Let me rephrase that.
Yes.
Because I don't really care about the other thing. When I listen to political talk, it's not for the politics. I'm listening to see what techniques they're using. Just
to get
listeners.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. No, none of that. Dude, not everything's porn, okay? So I was asking what happened with the water bottle yesterday. I was just telling you, you unplugged that yesterday.
Yeah.
There's still ice. Like, I got one, but it's still got ice in it.
Well, listen.
Did Courtney tell you what's up with that thing?
No.
They sent us an ice cream freezer, not a water bottle, or not one that they use at the corner store to keep drinks called. It's for ice cream.
That would explain it.
I said we just need to get ice cream in there now.
That's a good idea. We need an official ice cream sponsor.
No, I like this water. I like this
Seaforce. No, we can get one of those, but we also need an ice cream sponsor.
While we've got this, let's just get an official ice cream sponsor.
That's true.
Looking at you, Bluebell.
I'm looking at something from an Arkansas dairy. You know when this is an exclusively sports station from the hours of 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.?
And I would say also whenever Straight Hits is on from 7 to 9, you got sports out the
That's
tail.
That's Late Hits.
Late Hits, whichever. Straight. You used to be Straight something else, right?
No.
The first 45 minutes of the show is nothing but sports, right? So then you get the one, ugh, you guys suck. Never talk sports. And we suck.
I hate the person who just texted that.
You know what? I don't. I just think you're going to die off soon, so go back to 610. Because I'm sure there's riveting crap over there for you.
Sports.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Riveting crap.
Riveting crap.
Any big weekend plans?
I think I'm going to take my kids to a Texans game.
Okay, there you go. That's good.
Then watch the fights tomorrow night. I think I'm going to leave at halftime because I want to go watch the fights.
What fight are you most looking forward to?
Cormier Miocic is going to be, I think it should be a good fight, but I'm excited to see Nate Diaz fight again.
Is that just on ESPN Plus?
No, it's a pay-per-view.
It is a pay-per-view? Okay. Yeah. Because
the heavyweight championship of the world.
I read something and it made it sound like it was already on ESPN Plus. I'm like, wait a minute, with those guys, it's got to be a pay-per-view.
Yeah, and Nate Diaz, Anthony Pettis is the co-main event. So it should be a good night of fights.
Sounds like it. Maybe I'll buy that one. I got nothing. I'm just going to chill all weekend.
I got a fantasy draft on Sunday, the first of them.
Oh.
I'm cutting back tremendously.
Oh, really?
On my yeah, I can't do it. There's too many. I'm cutting back.
Well, it's harder to do a lot of fantasy when you're also having to handicap.
Yeah.
Games as much as you exactly. get the handicap now, but I'm going to play in yours, but that's the only one I'm doing, I think.
I think that's it. Yeah. I don't even know I'm going to do that one.
I thought you sent out a thing for it.
I think it just auto-renewed. I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you don't do that one, that's
I might break some hearts.
Eh, I'll be fine if you don't. I'll be playing on draft a lot.
Okay.
I like doing that. Aaron, you guys do anything this weekend?
Eating a bunch of gummies.
Probably. Going over to my grandparents' house probably to hang out with them on Sunday. And tomorrow, there was something we came up with, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, just those are decisions you don't make while you're out drinking at a party. Oh man, let's do this Saturday. Because then by Saturday you're like, man, go do that.
Yeah,
sounds stupid. So yeah, well, I'll be watching your Texans, and we'll be providing coverage on Sports Map for those of you who are interested. And our man Cody Stutes has you covered for the preseason. So
Attaboy.
We'll definitely have we'll have a big presence on Sports Map once the season starts. I just don't believe in doing four stories on preseason games.
No.
I don't think the people really want that.
No. Nope.
So. But we'll do, we'll go back to, we got great coverage for colleges and NFL plans, so we're almost there. I'm excited.
I'll give you
almost
a story.
Football season.
I'll write a story for you from the first half of the preseason game if you need it.
I think we're okay.
You're covered?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay.
All right. That is going to wrap it up. Is this tonight or was this last night? It's got to be last night, right?
No, there's games going now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is live.
The lowly Buffalo Bills are playing right now,
and
I know.
And the Chicago Bears against the New York Football Giants is what we're watching.
Look at Patrick Creighton on the sideline, coaching his own team.
I thought he was one waving the little flag. well, he won't be waving the flag because he'll be in here in a few minutes.
He'll be straight hitting, as you like to call it.
Yeah, straight hitting. All right. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. You guys have a great weekend. Till Monday, stay sports, you bitches.